Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Time Spent Poorly Show with your hosts, Eduardo, Old Huds, and Brother Ron. Here's a quick clip from tonight's show to whet your appetite.
Normally, yeah. Spoilers are, they enhance your viewing because you're just kind of waiting for what you know is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even watch previews, though. That's my big thing. Like, if I see a movie that I think I might like, I'll watch the first little bit of a preview, mm-hmm. and I'll shut it off. Because the whole show is in the preview.
A lot of times,
it's hard to find good previews that don't just give you the whole movie anymore.
It's hard to find good movies,
too. But, you know,
that was,
if you go from about 90 to 94 is when they stopped just telling you exactly what was happening. If you go back and look at like Die Hard's original stuff or like Lethal Weapon, they just give you the whole movie.
John McClane's having a bad day.
Yeah, the whole movie is right there.
Wow, this really sounds like it's going to be the best show, better than anyone we've done before or anything we can do afterward in the history of the program. You mark my words. We know there's all sorts of better ways you can be spending your time, so thanks for spending yours, albeit poorly, with us. If you want to learn more about who we are, go to timespentpoorly.com. Everything you need to know, whether it's accessing past episodes, future live broadcasts, or other shows on our network, it's all right there. There's also a link to our Patreon if you find yourself compelled to support one of your favorite shows, hosted by any of these nobodies from the Pacific Northwest. Well, gentlemen, I'm not here, but you are, so let's get it on! Without further delay, please welcome your hosts, Eduardo, Old Huds, and Brother Ron.
Hey.
Nothing like yelling welcome, into a microphone that's not on.
Not even on. Welcome.
Turn my headphones up.
Welcome to the program. We have Jeff on the show tonight. It's been a while, Jeff.
Welcome, Jeff.
It's been a long time.
We're in the same room. We're just on different screens.
And we're moved around. Yeah, the whole setup's changed a bit since Jeff's been on last time.
Yeah.
Brother Ron is here with his usual snacking.
I was going to say it wouldn't be a show without me eating during the entirety of it.
You know, listeners love it when podcasters eat into the microphone.
It's an intimate closeness that I built.
It's that ASMR.
Yeah.
We're filling that hole. Auditory, sensory.
Masturbatory.
Masturbatory.
I was going to say mouth relations.
Masturbatory reflection.
We shouldn't look it up, though.
No. Let's just... No. We'll stick with masturbatory.
We'll go with that. Yeah. I like it.
How's everybody doing? It's been a little while since we've actually sat down.
Life is good, man.
The
Life
listeners
really
don't
good.
Know that, though, because there's been a
no, audio listeners don't know that because
of content.
We're churning it out every week because we... Oh boy. The last time we sat down for like 4.5 hours.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been a steady stream of warm auditory urine into their ears.
Shout out to Werner Jerky. Yum. Good work, folks.
Werner.
Yeah.
Werner.
You can get big bags of it at Winco.
Nice.
For a very, very affordable price. And yeah, they make some good ass jerky.
I've been making my own jerky lately.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yes.
I've been thinking about doing that. I have a friend, my friend Cody, his dad makes his own. And I got to sample some on Saturday when I was over there. And
I've got some. I'm making some tomorrow.
Nice.
My wife likes my jerky when I make it when she's not there.
I'm
because it makes the whole house.
I smoke it outside.
Smell.
I'm thinking about if I'm going to develop a new hobby,
like a real man.
I think it'll be jerky making because, for one, I'm a total slut for jerky and I just could eat it all day, every day, and it's way too expensive at the store. But
I can make.
You make jerky and bring it to the show. I'll eat your jerky.
All right.
And you can drink my beer.
Yeah, I was going to say we can trade.
Barter system.
Yeah, I like it.
I can make 3 pounds of jerky for
$15.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. My last batch.
Now you're talking my language.
Was the best batch I've ever made, and.
Are you doing steak or do you do the ground?
Steak.
Steak.
Yeah, and I do slices, and the ingredients were chili powder and salt.
Oh, wow. Really?
And it was.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it's magic
rub.
Too.
Yeah, there was no brine. It was all rub.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 hours, maybe, in the smoker.
Nice.
It's done.
Speaking of homemade concoctions,
yeah.
Ward's new porter, correct?
Yeah, this is the porter. This is the second batch I've brewed.
I will be honest, it's not my palate as much as the last one was. It's a little bit darker, and it's got a little
you
bit.
You burned through that last one. Like,
dude, that shit was every, good. Seriously. Every show.
Ron's like, I don't drink very much. And then,
yeah, no, every show, like I would drink like a six pack. It is like, good.
I might just walk back to the house. Good.
I like my beer like I like my man. Black and stiff.
Black and stiff.
But, yeah. No, this one turned out good. I want to.
Yeah, it's tasty.
I got my third batch is in the fridge, too. I got one bottle. Because it's still the whole batch itself is still conditioning, but I pulled a few early. I'm sure it's fine. It's just the carbonation process. So
yeah,
when you put them in the bottle,
does it take 6 weeks or something?
No, like two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty quick. This batch, the fourth batch I have over there, is a cold smoke clone which is based on out of a brewery in Montana, Missoula. And I found it on a found it on a forum, mm-hmm. and then I spent like weeks studying it, and then buying this. Then I bought all the ingredients and did it a couple weeks ago, and then this coming Saturday I'm gonna bottle it.
See, now I tried cold smoke for the very first time on Thanksgiving, actually, and I genuinely didn't like it. But I can tell you already that stuff smells better.
Better than the cold smoke that
yeah.
you tried.
Yeah.
Did you have it from a can? Or
yes.
a bottle.
I poured it from the can into a glass, but yes, it was from a can.
The can, because I tried one of the cans I bought the other day to do like a taste test, and yeah. the can I had did not resemble the memory I had of the beer.
Okay, okay.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan.
Did you have it at like the brewery itself?
Yes.
And the keg lines probably hadn't been cleaned in 2 or 3 years because it was Missoula, right?
Right.
Yeah, so... part of that was the moss and stuff that had grown in the keg lines.
The
so it was it specially flavored.
Is there a technical term for that outside of moss?
No, there's
I hope there's not.
There's a when you there's a yeast Missoula sludge moss. That builds up in the bottom of your
I
of your fermenter
you
that's called
never
trub.
The words yeast sludge.
Well, it's got a better name. It's called trub.
All right, trub. Yeah, I like that
trub.
That's yep. got a good ring to it.
And then, well, I,
that sounds
I
like
made
a bad nickname.
I dumped it at the end of my driveway.
So what up, Trub?
So I'm going to refer to my ex-wife from now on. Trub. What's Trub? Yeast sludge. Yep, that's you.
No, it's, again, I mean, you're very, very well aware of how much I liked the last one. I drank more of that than I probably drank of any other beer in the last year. And that's
yeah.
not an exaggeration because I'm not a big beer drinker. But, yeah, this is good. I like it.
Yeah, you were going back for more. I'm gonna
always
try to brew that one again. It was good.
It was really good. Like that's again, I've said it several times on the show. That was one that I was intending to try just to humor you because you're my friend, and it was very quickly something I'd buy the shit out of this.
Yeah, that one I was upset that I was only having one because it was like one of those. Yeah, I could drink this all night beers. This one I could drink one and be like, yeah. Because it's heavier.
Well, I will have more
it's
than
like
one.
It's tasty, several. And it's like, yeah, I could drink one of these and just be like, yeah, that was a good beer.
Yeah.
But the other one, no.
I mean, Christ,
the other
I
one
brought
was
chips
like,
and
yeah,
queso.
I could drink like 11 of these.
The one that I had is gone.
I'm almost there.
Oh, do you want
there.
Another one?
Yeah, or
do you
I'm almost
I'll
there.
A different one.
You want okay?
It's definitely light for a porter, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
It's
not chewy at all.
Like a lot of porters are heavy, heavy, and that one is not heavy.
Yeah,
I like them like ice cream.
Yeah, see,
you know what's really
I can't
sad?
Do that. I when my beer's that thick, it just
none of these people are ever
going
to get to try any of this beer. Yeah.
They're so good.
I can't eat food with a dark beer. It ruins it. It has to be on its own.
Like not even like appetizers,
no.
like some fries or
no,
something like
no.
that. Really?
Yeah. The second
okay.
I put food in my
did
mouth,
you say appetizers? The word appetizers?
Yeah, I did. I put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable, but
appetizers, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody's gonna start working for Applebee's.
No, my girlfriend does. She brings me buffalo wings all the time, and it's amazing.
Oh, that looks good.
It looks really good.
Pretty clear.
Ooh.
Which one's that?
Ooh,
that's
looks
the,
pretty.
That's the Helles.
I don't think
I was going to have another
it's
one
new,
of these
no,
quarters,
it's,
but
it's
I will
new
totally
tonight.
Try
oh,
that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks pretty.
Have you ever had a Bud Light?
That one tastes
once or twice on a dare.
That's what I was wondering.
I was going to say, on a dare, yeah.
When I sampled the...
Only when I'm out of Keystone Light.
That's unfortunate.
When I sampled it before I bottled it, the sample I had was... It's not as carbonated as what's coming out of the bottle now. That's why you bottle
it. Actually, this tastes a lot like my favorite beer out of Costa Rica, Imperial.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it tastes almost exactly the same.
Nice.
It's crazy, the resemblance. And you can only get Imperial in Costa Rica.
Well, now you got it here.
Now you can get it in this shop.
Kissing cousins close enough to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's warmer in Costa Rica, though. God,
it ain't even that cold out tonight, but fuck, it has been.
Yeah, oh, tonight was kind of a gift.
So where are we starting with this? Do we want to start with the Mandalorian?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
I just watched the new episode on Sunday. After football was all over.
Now, you haven't watched it.
I just started episode one, and I was like 4 minutes into it.
Do you care about spoilers?
I could give a shit.
Okay.
Are you sure?
I know a lot of people that don't care. I know he doesn't care.
I'm a man after my own heart.
3 minutes after we have this conversation, I will have forgotten about
that's my. That's me.
Okay.
That's not my problem. My problem is I just don't give a shit.
And there's that.
There's those people that like lose their fucking minds over spoilers. Like, oh, you ruined it. My whole life is just like, if your whole life is ruined because you found out like the little dude on the little green dude on Star Wars has a name, like you probably need to check your whole life out.
There are movies where you don't want to know the end.
Yeah, absolutely. The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would have been
suspects. Yeah. Seven.
Seven. Great one.
Kevin Spacey movies.
Any of the, the guy that did.
Sixth Sense, arguably.
Yeah, the M. Night Shyamalan movies, where the whole movie is built around a twist at the end. Yeah. If you know that, then.
Yeah.
I mean,
twist movies. Those,
but seriously, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really. I saw a flood of people that were super pissed off about. They were like Hollywood Reporter had an interview with Rosario Dawson about showing up in this season as Ahsoka Tano, and they were like, "Well, way to fucking cover spoilers." And it was like, "Dude, they announced
that casting
that she
was announced before the
before
whole,
season two even started.
Before they even
well, they even announced like Katie Sackhoff's character too. All that,
yeah. So you knew she was going to be coming at some point. It was just a question of when,
right?
And I don't know, I'm with you, Jeff. There's some stuff where I do feel like what you're talking about. Like, I deliberately, when Infinity War came out, between its international release, which was like 8 or 9 days before its U.S. release, uh-huh. I didn't get on the internet.
Cool.
Because I had waited, to be fair, I'd waited a long fucking time to find out what was going to happen in that movie. Uh-huh. So I didn't want to know anything. But that's not...
Everybody.
That's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
I mean, really. Normally, spoilers are, they enhance your viewing because you're just kind of waiting for what you know is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even watch previews, though. That's my big thing. Like, if I see a movie that I think I might like, I'll watch the first little bit of a preview and I'll shut it off because the whole show is in the preview.
It's hard to find good previews that don't just give you the whole movie anymore.
It's hard to find good movies,
but,
too.
But you know,
that was,
if you go from about 90 to 94 is when they stopped just telling you exactly what was happening. If you go back and look at like Die Hard's original stuff or like Lethal Weapon, they just give you the whole movie.
John McClane's having a bad day.
Yeah. The whole movie is right there.
Well, yeah, for
comedies,
trailers should be made for like TV series and stuff. Like when you're introducing a new series, do that 2.5 minute, 3 minute trailer to just unfold what's going to happen this season or what's going to happen for this series. Maybe not a season, but I think trailers are made
for
give me
that
all the story
medium.
Arcs
for like, recent
reference. Introduce me to the characters not like it in the dark.
It's like, this has that guy.
For recent reference, did you guys watch Fat Man yet?
Yes.
I did. I loved it.
I really wish I wouldn't have watched the trailer for it.
What's that?
The Mel Gibson Santa Claus one with Walton Goggins. Yeah. After watching it, I wish I wouldn't have watched the trailer for it.
See, I watched the trailer so
what was
long
it on?
Ago, I forgot what it was about.
Well, I got it off the high seas because I don't care about those kind of things because I spend money on the media that demands me to spend money on it. And that's actually a movie I would buy. Like that, after watching it, it will be an annual Christmas.
I paid for it on Prime because it was $14 or $15.
And so I will happily, after watching it, I will gladly buy it for that price. But I want a physical copy. I don't want to deal with.
You're one of those.
Yeah. I am a physical media slut.
Yeah. Well, no, I used to be like... Someone would ask, but like, I have over 1,000 DVDs. We have over 1,000 DVDs in our household.
Same.
But right now,
I did until my ex-wife sold them all for drugs, but anyway.
I have 1,000 DVDs. Now I have zero DVDs.
Did you pawn them?
No, I sold them to my neighbor for $5 a piece.
No shit?
Wow.
Wow.
Nice.
Damn. Does he have any more he'd like to buy?
He talks to him, he's like, I'll take this one, I'll take this one, I'll take this one.
Wow.
I gave a bunch away. Movies and media is so easy to get anymore. And guess how much space a hard drive takes up?
Yeah. Not much.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you get the same quality. Yeah. You can watch it. You don't have to put it in a DVD player.
There was that tiny window, that quality window, where it was,
yeah,
shitty for stream. Like,
oh yeah,
yeah. I had.
You couldn't watch it without it looking like really some dude shape. Had filmed it in the theater with.
His and you're Sony watching and you're like, I don't even understand streaming. How does streaming work? I don't get the. And you just can't. But now it's like that's the standard.
Not that beer's good.
Yeah, I want to. Yeah. Would you hand me one of those?
The Hell Ace?
Yeah, please. I want to try that.
I'm interested to see if internet service providers move forward.
Thank you.
In the way they provide their service. Like, if it's going to continue to just be a flat fee for, like, up to X amount of data.
They need to do unlimited speed. Data.
Yeah. They do have unlimited data now for
it's not through, accurate though
through no. Sparklight.
Yeah, but they throttle you after a certain extent.
Yeah,
it's stupid, is what it is.
I haven't been throttled, and we use a ton. But they tiered us at one point for about 5 years. We were on a tiered plan because that was what Sparklight was offering or Cable One. But what they do is they change plans, but they don't tell you, and they just kind of they keep you grandfathered in whatever plan that closely fits whatever they've changed to. But you can find out. You like it?
I don't just like it. Jeff, you're right.
You're gonna drink all my beer.
I'm gonna drink all your beer now. This is fucking good.
That's fucking fantastic.
That's really good.
I'll have to have one of those too.
The porter is good. That is fucking great.
Nice. I haven't tried one.
No, it's good. It's really good. My dad, actually, oddly enough, we've done this really fun role reversal where when the first season of The Mandalorian came out, he watched What's Up,
Guys.
Hey, we have a viewer. Hi, how are you? Welcome to the show.
The screen is so far away.
We're talking about What Is Up right now, but right now I'm just tasting Ward's tasty new beer. So my dad, actually, I'm not sure what the reasoning for it was, but I watched like the first three episodes of The Mandalorian season one, and then for some reason I didn't watch any more until the season was done. And so he had watched all of it and kept having to keep his mouth shut because he didn't want to spoil for me what was going on and this, that, and the other. Well, now here we are. Role reversal, I'm current, and he still hasn't even watched the season one premiere. And
yeah.
He's waiting impatiently for it to be done so that he can just sit down and watch it all in one fell swoop.
They haven't released all of season two yet?
No, they're doing it
two,
week
two more episodes left.
It'll end on the 18th.
I thought it was like Netflix and they released the whole
thing. No, because it's Disney Plus.
They want to keep it locked in.
Dole it out.
Yeah.
Over.
So you can't take.
I will deliberately.
I'll
wait
take a week.
For 5 years for a show to finish.
See, that's show. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, I've done that with a lot of stuff.
And I really, really had to bite my tongue with this week's episode because it carries over from those couple real loose cliffhangers that I talked to you about when we were talking about. I was like, dude, they would not have shown her quote unquote dead body if they weren't planning on doing something.
Yeah, because I went back through season one the week before
this one?
Season two debuted, and I was like,
They're not just going to
waste too much of Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah, like, and they're not going to waste her, and that was too much of a tease.
She's a gnarly fighter.
Yeah.
And they just made her like a sniper that talked a little bit and hung out in handcuffs. That's not gonna fly with me.
I was happy that we didn't get any more of that douchebag gunslinger kid that was in that episode because he was, oh, man. God.
Yeah.
Talk about a punchable face. Fuck that guy so hard. And fuck his agent for getting him in that show. But
Hi, Mars.
Hi, Mars.
What's up, sweetheart?
Hi, Izzy.
What's up, Iz?
How are you, girls?
So
I don't have Matthew watching tonight.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Oh, he'd love this conversation. Yeah.
Well, he's not. As soon as I told him that Boba Fett showed back up, he'd be like, "Dad,
you ruined it."
He hasn't watched the new episode yet. But yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Boba Fett.
Yeah.
My
straight smashing stormtroopers.
He's probably my favorite Star Wars character now.
I know. I've hated him for years, and I always thought he was overblown. Like, everybody's always like, "Oh, Boba Fett's awesome. Boba Fett's awesome."
They had to build him to be awesome.
He was like a non-character.
He was basically
a non-character.
Yeah. He was great looking. Yeah. He had that cool armor.
Yeah.
Great.
Boba Fett does some shit.
But like, he gets taken out by a blind dude, and that's all he does in two movies is falls into a pit in the sand. Like, fuck you. And then in the prequels, he's kind of a mouthy little kid who turns out is a clone and shoots some lasers at Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like,
yeah.
They had to create his character.
Yeah.
Forgettable. And almost then, in the prequels.
And like then I said, man, non-character.
In this one, holy crap. He gets his, what, I mean, you're like, yeah,
they,
okay.
They he's built a whole backstory writer. For him in about, it, that was a 30-minute episode.
Yeah.
33 minutes it tops out, mm-hmm. And they like fleshed out his whole like.
And that's with credits.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's like king of stick fighters, and then he gets his armor back, and those two troop transports are taken off, and I look over at Alex.
That was so
like,
badass.
I was like, he's going to shoot the top one, and it's going to take out the bottom one, and Alex is like, no way, and I said, yep. And he does it, and I was like, boom! He's like, you could write these things. I was like, man, they're not very good at writing.
that's why I know.
Star Wars has never been known for its quality writing.
Boy, Robert Rodriguez directed that episode.
Yeah, he did. You could tell.
And yeah, there were some of the shots.
When his name came up in the credits, I was like, I figured that was Robert Rodriguez. It's not often I can tell who the director is just by the way things are, but he's got one of the most distinctive like ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm. It's that indie kind of style that he kind of holds on to a little bit. But he's also, with those Spy Kid movies, he's also done...
very, very much so, yes. I wouldn't say that it was one of the best episodes that's come out because I still hold firm that season one, the prison transport episode that they break in. I think that from like start to finish, I think that's the best episode.
Which one was that? Was that the finale?
It was Bill Burr's episode.
No, it was the one.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Where they break into the Republic prison transport and they're supposed to break out the Twi'lek.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
that, like, from start to finish, I think that was the tightest episode they've done in terms of, like, start to finish, really, really quality. But this one was not bad by any stretch.
Do you think we see Bill Burr again this season, or do you think it's next?
He was in the end of this last
one. Yeah, no, I know, that's why.
They mentioned that they were going
after
him,
break him out next episode.
I wouldn't
I'm
be
sure
surprised if that's the next episode, honestly.
Well, I mean, that's been their tell. Usually it's like... basically, if you take a Mandalorian season, it's like a first grader dot to dot because they end each episode with like, "Go here."
I like
it's,
that.
It is because it's like you're getting satisfied, but there's no roadblock on the way to getting there.
If you're gonna do an 8-episode season, you can't afford to have filler.
Right.
So if you're gonna go, no, you need to take the child to find Ahsoka Tano. Boom, you find her.
Especially when the episodes are 30 minutes
long. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you've got a very limited amount of time to work with. So
they fluctuate in time, but that particular one
you need
one
to take
was...
him to this planet and put him on this, you know, thing to help you try and find another Jedi. Boom, that's where we're going. We're not going to
talk
spend
about that for a second.
We're not going to spend an episode
of Kyle Reese.
you know?
Which one was?
Michael Biehn.
Michael
Biehn. Oh, yeah,
I admittedly, it took me two scenes worth of him before I was like, that looks like Michael Biehn.
I know.
But God, I haven't seen him in anything in so long. Is that Michael Biehn? Yeah, yeah. Holy shit, that's Michael Biehn.
And that was another one where I called what was going to happen. I was like, he's going to quick draw him and he's going to lose.
Yeah.
And Alex was like, no way. Sure enough.
That's great.
That's what they do.
It was great.
That was a fun. Both of those episodes were fun.
The thing I really appreciate that show is it is no frills. It is very straightforward storytelling. They don't leave really any fat on. Oh,
don't get
if
him started.
Don't get me started. If you want to go back through some of our backlog episodes, I would strongly encourage it. Chris is very quick to point out, I have really, really strong opinions about Star Wars. And if you really want to hear my opinions on the new trilogy, especially not just the prequels, but the new trilogy specifically, go back and check out some of our previous episodes, because I have stronger opinions about Star Wars than I do about our current election.
Stronger negative opinions. Like, negative opinions. You got to.
Well, yeah, stronger negative opinions. But yeah, like I, as I've said in the past, I'm not one of those people who thinks that the, you know, George Lucas ruined my childhood with the sequels or anything like that. But again, I've gone over it at length. I hate the prequel trilogy or the prequels very, very much. I hate the sequel trilogy exponentially more. And again, if you want to go back and check out some of our previous videos, you'll find out why. But I don't mince words about it, and I honestly on longer about it than I need to.
I think what helps the prequel trilogies, or what maybe probably helped the prequel trilogies, is they got bolstered by Rebels and
Clone Wars.
Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Clone Wars is so
because they built, they kept building that universe and
they
making
expand
it,
on it well,
especially by like halfway through season two. It's a rough start, and the movie is trash.
But the biggest problem with that, on top of it, and God damn it, here I go, ranting about Star Wars again, but the biggest problem about that is that everything that happens in Rebels and Clone Wars only furthers the lack of need of Episode One.
Yeah.
Nobody needed Anakin as a child. Nobody needed to know anything that happened in that movie.
But everybody needed Qui-Gon Jinn.
Or how about
everybody needed Darth Maul?
How about
those characters are
how about Darth Maul. Anakin as a child, do his story as a child in 10 minutes.
You could have put both of those.
That cut that what's his name did was pretty good.
Grace?
Yeah, yeah, his little bit with cuz that lightsaber fight with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, and they call it Duel of the Fates for some reason, because I guess that's what the name of the song
that's
is.
That's the name of the music, yeah.
But that's such a good lightsaber fight. And Alex and I were talking about that this weekend, because like Yoda's lightsaber fight was, as much as I laugh when I watch it, and it's funny because he's flipping around and he's a little dervish and whatever, like, it's stupid, because he shouldn't fight like that. And, like, that's how young Jedi should fight. And it totally made sense why, when Obi-Wan was a little Padawan, he was all over the place, and he was jumping high, and he was doing this, and he was doing that. And, like, you look at Vader in the original trilogy, and how he fights, like, all of his moves. I know, like, the suit was restrictive, and Prowse wasn't, like, agile as fuck. He was a power lifter or something, or he was a bodybuilder, so he wasn't, like, super agile. But, like, his saber was just always where
rest
it needed
in peace,
to be.
By the way.
And he died this week or something. So not only did he use the Force to, like, throw shit around, but his saber was just always where it needed to be. And that makes so much sense, because he's been fighting for, like, 40 years.
Yeah.
Right? He's not going to be cartwheeling. He's not going to be spinning around. His blade is just always going to be where it needs to be.
Right.
Because he's awesome.
Do you think they put that much thought
into
the movie when they made it?
Not then.
No.
They do now.
No. They George Lucas is the worst person at revisionist history. arguably
amazing.
In entertainment history. No, I had plans to make 9 movies. Bullshit,
worst,
you did.
Worst
you made
or
a
best.
Movie.
Worst or best?
A bit of both, honestly.
I think he's
bit
the
of both,
best
really.
At revisionist history.
No, I again, I the lightsaber fight with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan and Maul is great. There are a few aspects of Phantom Menace that you need, but again, as I went over in the past, you take the Phantom Menace and you take Attack of the Clones, and that
whole
is your first movie.
You the whole them, thing,
you Phantom
whole
Menace
thing.
Together.
Phantom Menace sounds
no, the
harsh,
thing.
But all I can think of every time I think of that movie is Pod Race.
The whole yep. thing is because he chickened out
yep.
on Jar Jar being the
See,
Sith Lord.
Jar Jar is the whole reason I can't watch the show. I fucking hate Jar Jar.
He's the main bad guy, and he chickened out. The guy that was playing him has talked about it before, and he said, you know, there were more plans for him, and there's all this evidence. There's all these videos of like, oh, you know, it cost them X amount of dollars per second to animate Jar Jar, and he's doing all these fucking things in the background, like making people say things and doing all these weird Jedi hand waves and things. Like Jar Jar was supposed to be Darth Plagueis or something, or whatever it was the original plan was. And you know, you see all these behind the scenes videos of Phantom Menace, and he's like, Jar Jar's the key to all of this. He's wandering around like Lucas is just with his flappy little gills or whatever, the shit's hanging off the bottom of his bullfrog face, just Jar Jar's the thing.
But people hated him.
And people were
loathed
just,
him.
Just, you know, that movie came out and everybody was like, what's with this fucking frog, dude? And
oh, I can't watch the show because of him. The comic relief was retarded. It was so stupid.
But you look at all of this, like when that dude tackles him in the street, right? When he does whatever, he grabs that food or something and it knocks over Sebulba. Yeah. And he attacks him. They're rolling around on the ground. And Jar Jar goes like this, just in front of his face, and he gets off of him, and it calms down. And then there's another part where he makes Padme say something, and he makes Qui-Gon do something. There's all these little things, and they wouldn't have animated him to do that because of how much money it costs to put him in every scene that he's in. It's weird. And there's a whole Darth Jar Jar theory. Built around this, fascinating.
There's a lot of it that I like, but I really think a lot of that is grasping at straws, because I think that saying that was the plan gives George Lucas and his storytelling way more credit than he has ever evidenced showing.
I'm not saying it would have been good.
No, I'm not saying it would have been good either. I'm saying that
he chickened out.
George Lucas's and storytelling ability.
I'm going to grab Christopher Lee. Let's pull fucking Goldfinger out or whatever the fuck his name was. The man with the golden gun.
Yeah.
We'll pull him out at the last second.
His base level storytelling ability, I don't think that he has the ability to be like, we're going to plant the seeds in this very, very discreetly, and we're going to have him do things that people might not necessarily notice. This is the guy.
George Lucas doesn't strike me as a Chris Nolan.
No, he is not.
I don't know about that,
not,
though.
I respectfully disagree.
About people.
Look
people
at the
say
movies,
that shit.
Look at the movies that he wrote the screenplay for.
It's fucking
look at their dialogue
almost 50
the
years later. Oh, yeah, the dialogue is shit. It's 50 years later.
I don't give him
and
that much credit.
Billions and billions of dollars. And people, and hipster people are always like, oh, George Lucas is such a shitty storyteller. Is he? You're still fucking talking about it. And he incites some pretty strong emotions in you. So is he a shitty storyteller? Or.
Yeah, no, he's a really shitty storyteller.
But he grabs you by the short and curly.
I remember being...
He's the driving force behind some of my favorite movies ever, but he's not a good storyteller.
I remember being 22 years old and The Phantom Menace coming out and being so disappointed in that show. I went to the theater, I stood in line to get into that show, and it was so bad. And I have not liked a single Star Wars since. Not one.
I was not disappointed. I was 17?
Came out in 99.
Yeah. Was it 90?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was 99.
I was 18.
Yep. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so I was 18. And it was my freshman year of
college.
I cut the whole line at the Liberty.
Yeah, I remember watching it at the Liberty.
And there were all these people that were like, they were there camped out for days. They brought couches down.
I was one of them.
and I went down, and Lee McVay was doing a remote. And I went down after work, and I went down with him. And he went in first, and I went in second.
I was with you.
We sat, like, in the best seats, that, like, nine rows back in the middle, and watched it. And I wasn't like, but I wasn't, like, pissed either. I wasn't disappointed.
I remember I sat next to this buddy of mine, really good friend of mine, and he laughed at every stupid fucking thing that Jar Jar did, and I just looked over at him and I'm like...
So you're not friends anymore?
Not stupid.
We're not even friends anymore.
Like, I haven't talked to him in 20 years.
Star Wars ruined my friendship.
I think they did a really good thing putting that great lightsaber battle at the end. Because I walked out and I was like, fuck yeah, that was Star Wars.
That's probably why.
That was the Star Wars.
Because it took a while for people to sour on it. You oftentimes you leave a movie, like with the new trilogy, you leave it feeling satisfied.
That's how I feel about every J.J. Abrams movie. You walk out of there and you're like, that was a ride.
I did not finish Rise of Skywalker satisfied. I almost turned that movie off.
Last ones are usually that way.
I couldn't watch the...
I was genuinely like, fuck this movie.
What's his face?
Didn't feel that way about the other ones.
They did,
Solo?
Rogue One?
Or Rogue One?
Or Solo?
Solo. I couldn't stand that one.
The standalone.
I hated it.
Solo. The Solo movie.
Fuck, I hated that show.
It was painfully average.
It was so good. And I watched it, I'm like, you're fucking kidding me. This show is so stupid.
The honest trailer for that pretty much encompassed
very much
everything
so. Yeah,
that I felt about
so.
It. Like,
I was really looking forward to that movie. I was like, this standalone is going to be a
See, I was I not, was, but
I didn't need a backstory for every item that was in the ship. Like, the dice? Why were those so important? They just hung... They couldn't put fuzzy dice on his mirror, so they did those little metal cubes.
I didn't like the actor. And I didn't like the wind when they were on the island or wherever they were at, that little sandy place, and the wind was blowing.
Wasn't that the movie that they had to stop and give that guy, give him acting lessons?
Yeah.
I like the space squid, though. That thing was fucking cool. And then it got eaten by the black hole. That was awesome.
I've said a few times that, in my opinion, anything Star Wars related that has to do with the Skywalker saga now, because it's not a trilogy anymore, but is essentially creatively bankrupt. There's nothing more you can do with it. If you're going to expand on Star Wars, you need to do something like what The Mandalorian has done. Even, honestly... It's not to the level that Mandalorian is, but Solo was kind of that of like, yeah, this takes place in the Star Wars universe, but it's going to be tangential to it. But I said it in our chat. I don't think it's any kind of a coincidence that the best Star Wars content that has come out since the original trilogy, meaning Mandalorian and to an extent Rebels and Clone Wars, they're not directly inspired by Star Wars.
Yeah.
They're inspired by what Star Wars was inspired by. Mandalorian is a Western samurai movie, which is exactly what Star Wars came from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think.
And they're just using some of the tenets that are in place.
Yeah, exactly.
I do like how Star Wars puts a real life spin on the characters. Like, they're real people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? They have.
Yeah.
You know, they may not wear uniforms, you know, and things like that. You know, I mean, if you're not on the Death Star or whatever. But kind of like Stargate was similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You know,
SG-1 is on Netflix now.
SG-1 was
good. Yeah. But I'm not sure if it holds up very well.
But like Star Trek was
it's
so
20 years old, so yeah. I mean,
you gotta choke down that first season and then it's pretty good.
Oh, Stargate?
Yeah.
We have the whole series. We have both series on.
Yeah,
in
I
the box set, but
I don't think I've seen an episode.
It's a good show.
You've gotta watch it.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Unreal good. And they all the seasons, all the shows tie together.
It builds a universe over the course of the
They're supposed to be coming out with another one.
You know, it was really great.
Did you ever watch Stargate Universe?
It was one of the best pinball machines ever made. The Stargate movie. One of the best pinball machines ever.
So I just finished watching The 100. And
is that the one about the kids that came out?
Yeah. I've heard good things.
It's stupid. It's fucking dumb. Don't. I mean, watch it.
I watched the first two seasons and then it started to kind of.
You'll watch it, and if you miss a few episodes, it was so fucking what?
It's one of those.
But yeah, it's like good.
A
USA
show. It's a CW show.
Your wife will love it. But it has remnants of The Matrix. There's an episode of The Matrix in there.
Ooh.
And the last season is all Stargate, all the way, 100%.
Wow. Nice.
They find this sphere where if you touch it certain ways, you transport to other galaxies and shit.
Nice.
Huh. That's a hell of a thing to introduce in your last season, but all right.
When you're trapped on a planet.
Right.
It seems like a last episode of the first season intro. Yeah.
The first season is all...
Look where we're going from here.
Yeah, the first season is all about sex, and let's get the sexiest fucking people on the show we can get, you know. And
dude, again, it's a CW show. About hot people doing hot things.
I remember seeing the first couple episodes of it and thinking, like, everyone on this show is beautiful. Like,
yeah, and then it gets...
Well, they are the only 100 people they're sending to the planet. You'd think there's probably some genocide.
You want
to
keep genocide.
The second season was pretty good.
Some selective genetics.
Goes downhill from there.
No uggos. No uggos.
If there's only 100 people, you are not keeping the uggos. I'm sorry, but... I Mandalorian is the best Star Wars content that has come out since the original trilogy, and I don't think it's even fucking close, honestly.
Because it's not, because it's not Star Wars. It is Star Wars.
It is,
but
it's not. Yeah, and you're right. We played the game, so you already know most of the story. But the Knights of the Old Republic games would make such good movies.
Yeah,
they really, really would.
Yeah, like a full on Revan.
Yeah.
Movie.
Oh. It'd be great.
You could do a trilogy that like went through The Mandalorian and Jedi Civil War.
Yeah. It'd be great.
Since we're on the topic of TV, we'll jump forward on my list just a touch and then we'll bounce back.
Yeah, where are we going here?
The other. Eduardo has all the streaming services. You want to announce this, Ron?
I can't. Oh, yes.
And now for another
riveting episode of Eduardo Has All the Streaming Services. Tonight's topic, Hulu, specifically FX on Hulu, as well as Netflix.
Yes, sir. Has anybody watched Fargo thus far? Any seasons?
I haven't even seen the movie.
One and two.
You've watched one and two?
One and two.
Okay.
I couldn't handle the movie.
Really?
Yeah, I heard it was good. I watched it. I was like, I didn't like it.
Oh, the series is nothing like the movie.
No.
Coen Brothers movies, you have to be like in the mood for. You can't just sit down and watch a Coen Brothers movie. Like, you have to be.
Yeah.
I keep going past it on Netflix, and I'm like, oh, Fargo, I really need to watch that, but I'm just not in a Coen Brothers mood.
That was one of the first video movies I bought on VHS when I was in high school.
I did like it when the guy got shot in the cheek, when Steve was in the guy.
Everybody kept telling me about how great Billy Bob Thornton was in season one, but I'm sorry, Martin Freeman was so great. He was my favorite part of season one.
Billy Bob Thornton was good, though, to be honest, too.
He was, but Martin Freeman was just so perfect.
So, season three, Ewan McGregor comes and he plays twins.
Yes,
to himself.
That was where I checked out.
And I'm slowly working my way around to rewatching it. What kind do you want?
The Hilaise, please. That's really, really good.
I only got one.
Do you have another?
Oh, really? Okay, no, I'll have another one. I'll have another one of the porter. That's fine.
You want a porter? Or do you want one of these?
No, I'll take a porter.
Okay.
Thank you.
I should have put.
I'll stick with what I know.
Okay.
I'll try it. Do you have another kind? Is there a third?
There's I don't have a third kind of mine.
And behind door number three.
Oh, you don't have the...
You want to...
No, I drank all the other ones. I drank all the other ones.
I want a Wardo beer.
No, I... Because isn't... that's the one with Ewan McGregor, and isn't...
I can't remember the actress's name now. I can't pull it.
Drawing a blank. Chris, be my Google machine, because I can't remember.
Fargo season three.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's
Carrie
in it.
Coon.
Well, she's in it too. Yeah, I watched it. I'm gonna go, or I didn't watch all of it. I watched probably 65-70% of it, and then I never finished it.
Oh, really?
Because I just couldn't. It wasn't holding my interest week to week.
Okay.
And so,
I've heard that about season four.
Well, I watched the first episode of season four.
Winstead.
Yeah, that's who I was. So I watched the first season of, or first episode of season four back when it first premiered. And then I kind of, then I stopped because I was like, ah, this is going to be one of those ones where I want to keep watching. But it wasn't like, but it couldn't, and I don't, and I wouldn't have kept watching, and I didn't each week after that because I was like, I can't sit down and give it an hour and then check out for a week. Until the next episode.
It was, like you said, you want to wait until it's done and then just binge it.
If you're not binging it, you're not watching.
So, so anyway, so my dad, he's been talking to me. He goes, you guys watching Fargo? And I go, no, I haven't been watching. He's like, just really good. So finally, I like queued it up and I was like, I need to rewatch the first episode because I can't remember everything that happened. But rewatched the first episode and then we just kind of like poured through it and we caught up. We had, there was like two episodes left to air, or one, I think. We got caught up basically in real time. And so the next episode, we finished the season, but man, it was good. I know a lot of people, I've listened to a podcast where they had differing opinions on it, but it was, they're building, they're like really world building with these tie-ins and stuff. Do you remember the tie-in that they had with one and two, right?
No, it's been a while since I watched him, honestly.
So, the character that, who plays the cop in two? Patrick.
The girl?
No, the male.
Oh,
Patrick Wilson?
Yes.
Yeah, Night Owl.
I was trying to think of
Night Owl. Patrick's. Yeah.
So, his, he's playing, I can't remember the character's name now, but basically he's playing the same, the younger version of the Keith Carradine character in season one.
Oh, really?
And they tie it together at the end of season two.
I don't even know if I know.
At like
that.
This table dinner thing. So the little girl is the cop.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Huh. I'll be damned.
So that was the tie in there. I don't remember what the. I don't think season three had a tie-in. If they did, I didn't catch it.
I'll be damned.
But
I might have missed that.
Do you care about spoilers on this one? Okay. So,
no, sir, but thank you for asking.
So Fargo season four, spoiler alert for anybody that listens to this show that wants to save themselves for Fargo, I'd fast forward with an hour, 2 hours, we could be talking about this. No.
Yeah.
No, basically what happens is Chris Rock, he's like the black mob boss, and then there's the Italian mob group, and so they've made this,
which is Jason Schwartzman, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They make this deal, and basically they trade kids. Like Chris Rock turns over one of his kids to the Italian family. Or the Italian crime family, and then one of their kids turns over to Chris Rock. So basically, the kids are basically leverage against one another to coexist peaceably. And all through the show, there's all these kind of inner workings, and it's Fargo. Shit happens. Yeah. So finally, at the end of the show, the kid gets back home, and they do this flash forward, and it's the kid is actually. Bokeem Woodbine's character from season two.
Interesting.
Yeah, so now I'm doing a season two rewatch.
Okay. I like that they do that, though.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Very tangential connections.
Yeah, so they all share the same, like, cool little universe. I like it. But
that's cool.
Then the other show on Netflix.
Yeah, the Netflix, because I haven't even heard about this Netflix show that you wanted to talk about.
It's called Brews Brothers, and I turned it on the other day because, you know, I'm brewing now.
Is it a reality show?
No, but that's what my...
that was my first thought.
My son thought it was... He's like, I thought you were going to... Because I was watching it while we were painting my son's room the other day.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I thought you were going to make me watch some stupid beer reality show. But we're like four episodes in, and it's like a raunchy comedy, kind of in the same. Well, the creators of The League made it.
Oh, okay.
But it's in the same vein as like The League, Always Sunny.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, and it's got these main characters.
Is there anybody that I would recognize in it?
No.
Okay.
But I don't think that hurts it. Well, you, Steve Renazzisi.
Okay.
Is in it.
Yeah.
For a minute at the beginning. He blocked me on social media.
Because he wasn't in the
'cause he wasn't in the 9/11 towers. And I called him out for
what
it.
What a weird thing to lie about. I'm sorry, but what a weird thing to lie about. Such a
horrible person. Did you know I was in New Jersey 2 weeks?
His stand-up really isn't bad.
Renazzisi?
Yeah.
I have a really thing about comedians lately anymore. Like, I can't.
Is it because of that rant I went off on, like, a year and a half ago?
No, it's comedians for me have been like a slow burn. What
everybody
was your
fucking sucks? Like, there's probably
like three decent ones, maybe four,
and most of them are just awful now.
Because they're all following this. It's like a little rule book for comedy. It's like a handbook, basically. They have this: tell this joke this way, tell this joke that way, and it's.
I can get through about 4 minutes of
the same kind of deal.
Renazzisi has a bit about a. Him and his wife deciding they moved to California, and so of course they were able to get recreational pot, and they were smoking pot one night, and they decided they were going to order pizza, and the pothead kid that was supposed to bring them their pizza shows up at the house, and for whatever reason in the joke, and I honestly, it's one of those stand-up bits where, like, usually you can tell if they're telling you something that really happened or if they're just telling you something that's a good setup for a bit. But this one really, really reeked of being like, this didn't actually happen. It just makes for a funny stand-up story. But the argument was that this pothead pizza delivery kid showed up to their house to deliver the pizza. And even though he didn't have the pizza, he knocked on the door and told them that he didn't have their pizza. And it's a funny bit, but it, again, like I said, it doesn't reek of truth in the way that
right.
some of the good ones do. But it's a good bit. It's funny.
One of my, Chad Daniels is a good one.
I fucking love Chad Daniels.
It's too bad he got divorced.
I don't even care.
Why is that too bad?
Well, no, I mean, but he was doing it through the,
have you heard his thing about being at the dinner with his Canadian friend?
Oh, I'm like Jeff with spoilers that like if a, someone does so a comedy bit. I'm terrible at regurgitating anything.
Him and his son and their friend are at this dinner because they're all visiting this comedy festival. And there aren't enough plates at the dinner for everybody to eat. And so the friend asks, well, can I use one of those plates? And there's these three plates that are hanging on the wall. And the wife of the house says, no, I'm sorry, those are decorative plates. And she starts kind of getting a little bit weepy, talking about how her parents immigrated to the country and they only had four children and they had 12 plates to begin with. And each one of the kids wound up having three children of their own. So they all got three plates and those three plates were going to get passed down to their family because it was like the only thing that they brought to the country with them. And the guy's like, well, okay, well, I'm going to go get some food anyway. And he turns and accidentally knocks one of the plates off of the wall and it drops and it shatters. And he's like, and the only thing that you could hear was the clock ticking and this woman sobbing. And then my son says, God damn it, Tony, now she's going to have to kill one of her kids. No, I absolutely, I've been listening to a lot of Chad Daniels lately, and I'm a big, big fan.
He's got
a new podcast that...
I did not know that.
It's called Middle of Nowhere. It's really decent.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's really decent.
Like, so not like great.
It's no time spent.
You gotta.
It's no time
decent
spent
show.
Show, and it's frankly big love to Tom Segura. It's no Your Mom's House.
See, I don't like
Your Mom's House. I love Tom Segura.
I
really do.
I don't like his wife.
Who's his
wife? I didn't say this, but I'm not a big fan either.
Well, you think Tom Segura cares if you like his wife?
No, probably not. You know, I met him in Spokane, and he knows this place. So I met Tom Segura in Spokane at the Spokane Comedy Club.
Oh yeah.
And they were going through at the end of the show doing a little meet and greet, and I stopped and I talked to him for a second. And him and his wife had actually mentioned Lewiston on a previous show because his wife used to do like event promotion and stuff like that. And she did an event promo for the Clearwater River Casino. And she talked about coming to Lewiston and about what a horrible, stinky place it was because of the paper mill. And she mentioned it being one of the most disgustingly stinky places she had ever been.
That's hilarious.
In her life.
And it's a smell you get used to.
Yeah, and so I got to talk to Tom Segura. But I was like, no, you remember that place that your wife talked about being like one of the smelliest places she's ever been?
That's where I'm from.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's where I live.
Obviously, she's never been near her own vagina.
So, yeah, Bruise Brothers, check it out. And Fargo, if you get a chance, watch Fargo.
So
I'd have to get Hulu.
Is it like a comedy, like a situational comedy, like Always Sunny and whatnot, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically a similar format. Basically, one brother, these two brothers divided when they were younger, like separated when they were younger, but they've got this backstory that they've been brewing since they were like children.
Oh, okay.
And the one brother opens up a brewery and the other brother comes back to
making beer since they were kids.
Yeah. I mean,
stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
But.
So anyway, so the one brother comes, they're estranged, but the one brother comes back to lend his services, and he's kind of got a dentist type
personality. If I was smart, I would have my kids brew, and then I would always have beer to drink.
I'm going to do that.
Big Dad, you need to test the new one.
Go stir the mash.
Go stir, Mara.
My kid would love to make me beer.
You imagine the look on their face when they did a good job?
Yeah. He'd be like, fuck, my dad loved that one.
look at my daddy's passed out in the back. I did good. Less alcohol.
Such a good
next kid. Time. Son. That was malt liquor, not beer. You went too far.
Show me your next bag.
This is good.
It's fucking
not to pat myself on the back, but
you need to make more of that and you need to give me some. I'm not kidding you. That tastes... Okay, so we've been to Costa Rica twice. And Imperial and Pilsen are the two Costa Rica beers. Okay, they're like basically Coors and Bud here is what they are. You can only get them in Costa Rica. They both have completely different flavors, but that one tastes exactly like Imperial.
Wow.
And I have some. It's just not cold. I'll send it with you.
It's the cheap shit down there. So good.
Is it better for you than the water, like Corona is in Mexico?
Water is good in Costa Rica. They filter it. Mexico, they do not filter their water.
No.
And we went to Cancun once. Worst experience of my life. Hated it. Hated every moment of Mexico. Absolutely hated it.
I don't know that I've been to Mexico.
Costa Rica twice. Loved every second of it.
I have not been out of the continental United States.
Really? Yeah.
That's unfortunate. After being out of the U.S., I never want a vacation in the U.S. However,
I think I've only been to like two or three nice places outside the United States.
when we went to South Carolina, that was pretty good. I really liked South Carolina. People were nice. They were genuine.
Definitely the nicer of the Carolinas.
Yeah. Went to Texas a little while ago. I hated it.
There's too much of Texas to be able to judge it. Based on any particular section.
My dad lived over by Austin, in between Austin and what's the other big city down there?
Dallas.
Not Dallas.
Houston.
Fort Worth.
Houston. And he was like halfway in between the two. And it wasn't terrible there, but you can't get away from people. No matter where you go, there's people.
Yeah.
And then I had some training to do a couple weeks ago down in Dallas, and I fucking hated Dallas. I hated it. It was worst city I've ever been in.
We did Dallas for our anniversary for vacation, but there was different reasons. Like, you're going for the said purpose of
I went and saw where vacation. Kennedy was assassinated, and I was just... One of the only times I ever tipped a guy, a homeless dude.
I was down there, and I was checking out the memorial. There was nobody there, and this black guy, old.
Did you have him take your picture on the X?
I almost took his picture. He came up to me, and he's like, "Hey, are you looking for the Kennedy assassination spot?" And I was like, "Yeah, I don't know where it is." He's like, "Well, let me take you around." And he gave me this 20-minute spiel, like, full-on fucking tour. And he was a homeless guy. And I was like, "Hey, I don't give money to homeless people, but you deserve this." And I handed him a $20 bill, and he almost fucking started crying on me.
Nice.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, he was giving us like a service.
Yeah,
unofficial tour.
Yeah, he spent 20 minutes with me. Like, straight on. He was like, "This is what happened here. This is what happened here."
And that's cool.
Well, he should know. He was on the grassy knoll.
Yeah, he was.
We went.
Solved it.
We went the sun.
I've been homeless here for 37 years.
We went in 2013, and so they had everything in the summer because they were getting ready, geared up for the 50th anniversary. So, like, all the fountains, everything is all just tore up because they're fixing everything, getting it all, they want it all pretty for the 50th anniversary. But we did a Segway tour.
I don't know if I'd want to do that.
Down there?
It's not something I'd pretty up for. I'd be like, let's dinge this place up. Let's get dirty. Because they killed a president here. That's a bad thing.
It was like, I'm trying to equate it to something around here.
The underground.
Imagine going to North Lewiston, like, over where, like, Ox Arc is, and, like, trying to take a tour down there. That's about what it was like. I mean, it was just, you're on a busy street, and...
Yeah, nothing's closed down. They have, like, so there's some touristy stuff down there, but not a lot.
Yeah, there's just...
My wife is a big JFK... A file. She's got all sorts of, like, for as long
ladies
as I've known her.
Just love that dude. Like, all of them.
Yeah.
He was a smooth pimp daddy.
Who loved the...
Dude, seriously.
Yeah.
When you're the president and you can just have whores and everybody still loves you, you're doing something right. I'm sorry.
The universal appeal of that dude...
Yep.
...is just... weird. Like, every
he was like
woman.
Bill Clinton minus the rape vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, really?
They were all willing. They weren't just interns. It was Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Weird.
Exactly.
He's had more stuff crop up since then, but not a lot of people throw him shade because he's got he ended with a hole in the back of his head.
I was going to say, it's hard to talk shit about a guy who got shot while he was in office.
Right. Imagine if he'd lived, though.
Lincoln was no saint, but
within the Me Too movement today. Right.
Jeez, I got a book just full of he was a piece of shit.
Yeah, they're dismantling Reagan right now. There's a Showtime series I'm watching. It's good, but it's completely like turning.
Is it really biased?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your opinion of Reagan, but it's revealing. I mean, his son is liberal, so but he's involved in the or he's interviewed in the documentary series, so he's in it. And you know, there's stuff that Reagan, like, there's some real racist remarks coming from Reagan that you're like, boy, I never knew about that when I was a kid. Like, all sorts of, like,
well, racism
was in cowboy movies, like,
yeah, it wasn't. It was more, I think it was more like a socially acceptable
norm. You know, if you said the trigger word back in the day, it was, you shouldn't say that. But I mean, it wasn't like, oh my fucking
god.
Oh,
we went.
Did you just say it?
Yeah.
We played Ding Dong Ditch under a different name when we were kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you were knocking.
But we didn't, but like, that was something that, like, I had no idea what I was.
Right.
Like, why it was called that until we never figured it out till later. I was like, oh.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't have been saying that.
But, because nobody ever corrected us because we were all kids just playing it together. Like, the guy that obviously was like, go play that game.
Well, and you were in Montana.
Right.
There's like four black dudes in Montana.
Yeah.
In the state.
All right, peeps, didn't I tell you this was the best one? They fucking nailed it as usual. In case you weren't listening at the beginning, make sure you head over to timespentpoorly.com and click things. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. While you're at it, subscribe on YouTube and get notified the next time we're live. Maybe you appreciate what we give you and you want to support us? Great! Head over to patreon.com/timespentpoorly and check out how you can do just that. Thanks again for wasting your time with us this week. Now go make better use of it! Until next time.